This is FSU softball player Mac Leonard, and you are listening to the C Gap Blitz Podcast.
Welcome into Season 7 of the C-Gap Blitz Podcast. My name is Chris Strasball. Here we go. Season 7 off and running. Looking forward to having a great year, a bounce-back year, well, so to speak. Not looking to win Podcast Comeback Player of the Year or anything, but definitely need to pick up my game from last year. Feeling a lot better. Pretty excited about what Season 7 has to offer. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Got a good show for you tonight on the kickoff. If you're wondering why Mac Leonard did the opening for my show today, no, this has nothing to do with softball. It has a little bit to do with FSU, but the softball team plays tonight. I'm going to watch it, so I'm just putting it on there. It's exciting times because the NFL has ended. We are officially in the off season. So what does that mean? That means we have some stuff to talk about.
Here's what we know.
1 week from today, the NFL Combine kicks off in Indy as usual with the linemen, defensive players, defensive line, offensive linemen. They kick off on Thursday and then we roll into Friday, Saturday. And I think there's a little bit on Sunday. Not real sure. But it gets us ready. It's like the official kickoff to fantasy season, not only in Dynasty, but in all forms of fantasy football. We've got our hopes and dreams. We want to see players on how they do in the combine, what their scores are and how the analysts, perceive them going, to the next level. We want to see players pop. We want to see players, come out of nowhere. And we want to see players' draft stock come up because of the combine. We want to see, our players that play on our favorite college teams, how they are going to do, under a pressure where you've got 32 teams there watching you. It's exciting. It's exciting. And if you're not a big-time, deep-end football fan, maybe the Combine doesn't excite you. I was fortunate enough to go to it a few years ago with a couple of good friends of mine. It was really neat. And it's actually changed some since then. But the Combine is really cool, and it kind of kicks off and gets us ready for Pro Days, which will be happening shortly after the Combine. And they're sprinkled around throughout, college school schedules, but then that leads us up and ramps us up for the actual NFL draft. And then you're looking at drafts. I'm in a league where our league actually drafts 1 year before I joined. I think it started that night as the draft ended, they drafted the league. So leagues start kicking off drafting as soon as the NFL draft is over. So you may say we're in the off season and stuff, but not really. If you're a fantasy enthusiast and you care about your teams and you care about going deep and competing year in and year out, well, pretty much our off season's over. I took a couple weeks off, had a rough span last year with some health and stuff. So I'm looking to get back in it and get myself back on track. I had a pretty successful season in 22. Won some championships, lost a couple, championship games, had to split a couple championships because of the whole Buffalo-Cincinnati game with DeMar Hamlin going down, which was totally fine. It's more important than the game, 100%. So, you know, I'm looking to build on that and continue my success. So for me, you know, this is kind of the start. This is the kickstart. This is what kind of gets it. This is like the pregame. This is your preseason. And tonight we're going to talk about 12 Devy names to get us rolling here on Season 7 of the CGAP Blitz that I'm looking at that could very well be available in some of your Devy leagues. And obviously all of them will be available if you're starting up one. So we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But first, I want to talk about off-season trades. And I've done these segments before when I kicked off the season. And you always seem to learn things along the way. And, you know, on this podcast, many times I've said, don't boredom trade. Just to look at your team and say, yeah, this guy's on the trade block. I'm going to go see if I can get him. So, you know, every year my number one rule is don't boredom trade. Just to have something to do or just to think you're keeping your team active or whatever, it's not good. Because when you look at it in the long run, you may think back, that wasn't the greatest move for me and I shouldn't have done it. We have a standard in every league that I'm in pretty much. Especially the ones that I run, that if it's a done deal and it's put on paper or it's, you know, sleeper, you know, enacts the trade or it's a Devy trade or whatever, when it's wrote down, it's a done deal. There's no backing out. So once it's been posted or announced, you know, you're stuck with it. So there's no backsies in the leagues that we run around here. So I would assume it's the same in you guys' leagues, but it's... what's done is done. Then you have to live with the aftermath. I have been active these last 7 to 10 days in making some trades in several of my leagues. I made a couple of just little piece here kind of trades. I made a couple of bigger splash trades. In the one league that I joined, College to Canton League, last year that I joined with a guy by the name of Shadow Cat, Miguel Romero, started a league. He lives out in Oregon, and he had a guy draft the team and then leave, so I inherited it. It was fresh, but I didn't get to draft my team. Well, I took the team, had Bijan Robinson on my college team. Did pretty well. Ended up in the championship. Lost in the championship at the college league, my first year in it after inheriting a team. Once he has, you know, put the players on sleeper, so they're there, I decided to move Bijan Robinson because I needed some pieces on my NFL side. I hated to do it. I still have a couple of shares of Bijan in other places, so I'm not completely out. But I was able to get some serious help on my NFL side, which was not drafted very well. Just putting it mildly, and I had a lot of rebuilding to do. So I made a move. That was a big splash move, okay? And I will say this. It hurts to trade any shares you have of Bijan Robinson because he is, in my opinion, the biggest running back to come out since maybe Ricky Williams. He's got that much hype, and he went to the same college as Ricky Williams. He didn't win the Heisman, but like Ricky Williams did. But I think he's a bigger hyped up running back than Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette. I think he's bigger than all those guys that we saw come out 5 or 6 years ago. And what he brings to the table is he's the perfect size of strength, speed, power, agility. He can catch the ball. He's like the total package. And landing spot is going to be huge for him. Does he come in at the 101 as the running back one for a team? I mean, there's only a handful of teams where I think he goes that he's not. So he's going to bump somebody's spot. He has that kind of talent and that kind of legitimate, you know, NFL caliber play. But I had to move him because I needed the pieces. I couldn't just rest on, you know, a couple of players on my team. So I was like, well, if I move him now, You know, once he gets drafted, I may love the landing spot so much that I can't afford to trade him. So I took the plunge and did it now. It was not a boredom trade. I spent several weeks lulling over this, am I going to do it? And I thought, I really need some more help if I want to try to be at least be semi-competitive this year. You know, I'm not saying I'm even going to make a playoff run this year, but to be semi-competitive, better than I was last year, something had to change. So I made the deal. It sucks, but, you know, I had to do it. It wasn't a boredom trade. I did it to help my NFL side. So when you're making off-season trades and trade requests, there's a couple do's and a couple don'ts that I want you to focus on. A couple of do's, okay? Do your research on your own team. Look at your roster from top to bottom. Look at what you have in your taxi, players that you may have not even played last year because they were in your taxi, and what they may have done. A perfect example is Christian Watson. I had to play him in a couple places just because of injury and just bad karma, but I didn't want to bring him out of my taxi until I had to. He took off and had a really solid season, but now you're looking at, well, is Aaron Rodgers coming back? That's a big factor, okay? I'm still holding Christian Watson about everywhere I got him. I'm not trying to move him because of the potential and the ability that he has, you know, as a wide receiver for the Packers, no matter who the quarterback is. But the more chemistry he builds with Rodgers, the more confident, you know, we're going to be in playing him. But look at the depth of your team and say, hey, I got this guy and this guy that I didn't hardly even use last year, and I got a couple of guys that are getting up in years. I may want to try to move them guys and get a little younger. Okay, so look at your team, top to bottom, and say, yes, I can finally move on from this player and this player who've done me very well, but they're getting up in age. And then you go and look at the other teams in your league. Okay, look at every team in your league. Who could use said player? Who could use this guy? Who may be in win-now mode and may want a Dalvin Cook? That's a perfect example because you all know how much I love Dalvin Cook. Top five in my all-time list of favorite FSU players. But I'm trying to move Dalvin Cook. I moved him in the league the other day. I still have him all over the place. But I also realize that in order for my teams to stay relevant, I'm going to have to try to move some of these guys while they still have a little bit of gas left in the tank. Okay? Moving Dalvin Cook was able for me to grab, I replaced him with David Montgomery. I know what you're probably rolling your eyes, but I was able to get A.J. Brown in the deal. So I like that deal. I hated losing Dalvin Cook. He's been a staple of my teams since he's been, you know, a rookie. But, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and I got to look at the next step. And I got to look at, okay, what's going to be good for my team? How can I add some pieces? Look, who could use a player like Dalvin Cook or even a player like Aaron Rodgers? Okay, maybe you're in a two-quarterback league or a super flex where, you know, a team was in the semifinals or the quarterfinals in the playoffs, and they had a quarterback issue. And you're trying to move on from Aaron Rodgers because he's getting a little long in the tooth as well. Look at the team's makeup on your whole entire league. Don't just throw out stuff. Because if you're just throwing a rock down the hallway, you don't know if it's going to hit anything or not. Okay. Look at what you're sending. Okay. Make sure that the trade makes sense to you. And have a reason for sending it this way, because people send me trades all the time and it makes my eyes roll. And I'm like, well, let me find out why they think this is a good trade. And I'll go look at the makeup of their team and I'll see what it's made up of. And sometimes I say, okay, I get it. I see where they're coming from. They got too many of this, you know, this team's players, and they're trying to get rid of somebody or whatever the case may be. I try to make sense of the trade. Doesn't always work because sometimes it's just a click decline because it's a terrible trade offer. you know, weigh the teams, okay? And this is, and now we're going to go to the don't that I have, and this is what I don't want you to do. Don't go into a trade thinking that you always have to win it. Okay, you're not going to win every trade, and if you're partnering or you're trying to trade with players in your leagues that always have to win trades, stop trading with them. There's a couple of guys that I run in circles with that I just refuse to trade with because they're impossible to trade with, and I've moved on from it because nothing that you're going to offer is going to work out for you, and it gets frustrating back and forth to try to figure out, you know, what's valuable for you, and their players are way more valuable than your players. So you learn quick, you know, who you can trade with. You're not always going to win. I was just talking to a guy, Miguel Romero, yesterday about a trade, and I said, you know, I've won trades, I've lost trades, I've won leagues, I've lost my hind end in leagues. That's the process, okay? That's part of the game. It's why it's fun, because you got to take a chance. You got to take a risk on who you think's going to hit. Okay, you've got to take a shot. If you really, really love Max Duggan from TCU, then people, take your shot on Max Duggan from TCU. Okay, maybe he hits, maybe he don't. Look, I am a huge Jordan Travis fan. Okay, he's probably rapidly becoming one of my top three or four favorite quarterbacks ever from Florida State. Does he have an NFL future? I do not know. He's 6'1", up to about 210. I do not know. But his athletic ability alone and his determination and the chip on his shoulder and the leadership that he plays with makes him a huge asset. Huge, huge potential. So I wanted him on my Devy team. And with my last Devy move and the Devy Hitman, I picked him up last year. Does it work? I don't know. But I'm taking a shot on him because I don't want somebody else to have him. So don't go into a trade thinking you need to win it. Go into a trade thinking you got a piece or two pieces that can help you. And it might not be this season. It may be next season. Or the season after that before it works out or however long you're willing to hang on. But if you can get a piece that's going to help you, in your mind, you win that trade. It's just that simple, okay? Don't be afraid to take a chance. Not everything is safe. You can't win on safety. You have to win on taking a risk. Take a chance. There's been trades where I've given up 3-4 players just to get one. And I'm okay with it. Does it work out? Sometimes. Sometimes not. Perfect example. Defensive end out of Ole Miss, I think. It was an Ole Miss named Robert Kimdichie. Biggest thing in college football for like 2 years. Complete wash in the NFL. Man, we had 3 or 4 guys that was hot on his tail in one of our leagues trying to get that guy. Didn't work out. You'll have that. So all that being said, we will jump right into the meat of the show. And we're going to go right into, I've got 12 names of Devy players I want to talk about tonight and get you geared up for your Devy drafts, your Devy redrafts, your Devy startups, Devy league, because I love Devy. Devy is my friend. Now, full disclosure, I had Malik Nabers on this list from LSU. Scratched him at the very last minute because of what's going on, what I seen yesterday. So I'm not going to really report on him. I've replaced him with another guy who we'll talk about at the end of my list. But Malik Nabers from LSU would have been on my list had not he been charged with gun charges yesterday. So that could be potentially bad for the LSU wide receiver. Starting here, number one, and these really aren't in any particular order, but there are a couple that I'm going to really focus on. And one, the first guy I want to focus on, and he's kind of at the top of my list to target in Devy redrafts. Maybe not so much in startups early on, but in Devy redrafts, he's on my list of people to target in redrafts is Bucky Irving running back out of Oregon. 5'10", 194. He does need to put on some weight if he's going to transfer into the next level, which he's not that far from 200. So, you know, if he could put on 10 pounds, it's not going to hurt anything. 1,058 yards last year, 5 touchdowns, 31 receptions out of the backfield. He plays bigger than he actually is. Good speed. I wouldn't say he's like a blazing burner, but he's got good enough speed. Decent cutback. But what really pops when I watch his film is he's a natural catcher of the football. And as soon as he catches the ball, he's ready to move with it and run and get up the field. He makes people miss, and he's already in a great offense, but they did lose Dillingham to Arizona State, who was their offensive coordinator for 1 year after he left Florida State for a couple of years ago. They did lose him. Don't think that's going to change much in the way of the offense. It might a little bit, but Bucky Irving is somebody that I really like, and I'd like to see how he's going to progress through this coming season and moving into the NFL. The next guy is like a total opposite of Bucky Irving, and that's Raheem Sanders out of Arkansas. And you go from Bucky Irving at 5'10", 194, to Raheem Sanders at 6'2", 227. And this guy's big, and he's a load. And he's very highly coveted in most Devy leagues. Probably not available. If he is available to you, he's probably going to be the 101 taken in Devy redrafts if he's available in those leagues. Like I said, 6'2", 227, that is a large young man. 1,443 yards last year, 10 touchdowns, added 28 receptions. He is hard to tackle. Not a blaze, but fast, plenty fast enough for his size. So when you're 6'2", 227, and you run, you don't have to be a blaze because you're going to run through people and run over them, run around them, and be able to get away from them because they're going to miss you. There's a lot to like at this kid at the next level. Strength, determination, hard to bring down. I mean, he puts you in a little bit of a mold of a, I don't know, I don't want to say, if you want to go back a few years, I don't really want to comp him to Greg Jones out of Florida State because he's a bigger, faster version, better catcher. But he runs with some determination like Greg Jones did at Florida State, and he will hit you, and he'll run, he's not afraid of contact, and you're going to have contact in the NFL. I don't think he's so much of a one or two cut runner. He's going to have to go up, and he's going to get his money, you know, getting those hard yards up the middle, and he's very physical, and that's what it's going to take at the next level. And like I said, fast for his size is being very, it's not a humble, but it's very impressive to watch him run as big as he is, as fast as he is, and do the things that he does when you put on some film. Next on my list, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's pretty exciting to me to have some guys from FSU finally making these lists, because at FSU we're making a comeback, and it's nice to be able to talk about some of these guys from FSU transitioning into the NFL, because it's been a long time since we've had running backs to talk about at FSU. You know, Dalvin Cook, Cam Akers, you know, it's been a minute. So this is exciting. You know, the Derwin Jameses and stuff like that, defensive players, they pumped them out too, but now we've got some serious offensive weapons that are legitimate, you know, assets at the next level. And the first one I want to talk about is Trey Benson. Transfer from Oregon, okay, healed up from a terrible knee injury, tore his knee up all to pieces at Oregon, and you could even see when he first came in last year when he was at the spring game, he was still, you know, getting kind of, how's this going to work, how's this going to go, am I okay, am I good to go? Once we got rolling into the regular season, you saw what they saw, you know, from Trey Benson before the accident. 6'1", 215, I love that size. You guys, if you listen to my podcast, that is my size wheelhouse. 990 yards, 9 touchdowns. He's very elusive for his size, and he makes people miss. There was a stat last year somewhere around the line of he was top 1 or 2 at breaking tackles in the ACC and top 10 or something in the country at making the first or second guy miss. This year he should be faster. He should be more confident. And that's what I'm looking for out of Trey Benson. I want to see more. I need him to prove that to me one more time. He was 10 yards away from 1,000. He didn't have a very good game against Oklahoma. Oklahoma must have taken away the run because they made Jordan Travis throw the ball for 400 yards. So I want to see that again. Trayshawn Ward has transferred out, so the running back room is a little bit less crowded. They did bring in a couple of real nice pieces, though, to complement those guys, and they still have Toa Fili. But the way I'm looking at this, Trey Benson is going to be the main guy in a Mike Norvell offense that puts running backs in the NFL all the time. And I've been down the list. I'm not going back down it again because we all know, you know, the list that Mike Norvell has put in the NFL. This next guy was so stoked to be able to pick him up in a couple of Davy leagues and even on my college fantasy leagues last year. Sophomore running back Quinshon Judkins out of Ole Miss. 5'11", 220. Like I said, you guys know my wheelhouse. That's right there in it. Love this kid. Took the job. Basically put Zach Evans on the bench, people. 1,567 yards, 16 touchdowns. He's the total package. He can catch the ball. He runs the ball well. He's very fast, very elusive. He plays in the SEC, so he's got what people would call the best conference in college football to play against, and he's putting up those kind of numbers as a freshman. Am I going to see a sophomore slump? I don't expect him to rush for 1,500 yards again, but 1,300 or 1,200, 12 or 1,300 wouldn't be a bad thing at all. 12 or 14 touchdowns. You know, I think that teams are going to come in and make him, you know, stop him as opposed to Jackson Dart. But, you know, if they can't and Jackson Dart can function and Quinshon Judkins can function, Ole Miss is going to be a really good offense. He does have more to prove because it's just a one-year sample size we've seen. But as a freshman, 1,500 yards and 16 touchdowns, this kid is good and He's going to go probably in the top five picks in redraft. He may even go early in Devy startups. I would be interested to see where he does fall in Devy startups. So if you're doing a startup, find me on Twitter at CGapBlitz and let me know where Judkins goes in a Devy startup. Next on my list, there's a two-headed monster at Michigan, Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. Donovan Edwards, to me, may equate more to the NFL at 6'1", 205. He's a bigger running back, bigger of the two. There still is a 1-2 punch there. Good size for the next level, though. Okay, 991 yards last year, 7 touchdowns, but that was basically Blake Corum's show. I mean, that was Blake Corum every week. You're seeing Blake Corum just go off every single week. And he still almost amassed 1,000 yards, you know, in a backup role. And then when Corum got hurt, you saw what he did in the college football playoffs, or the Big Ten Championship, one of the two. I mean, he went off. Like it was grind it, and then it was the Donovan Edwards show. And, you know, I always talk about what talent you can perform against big-name, big-level teams. That shows you what you're going to go up against in the NFL. So I love Donovan Edwards. I'm really interested to see how that works with Corum coming back, if they're going to share more of the load, if they're going to give, you know, Corum a little bit of a break, and you know, maybe split the carries, or if Corum just comes back and he just outperforms him. But I love Donovan Edwards a little bit more at the next level just because of the size difference. Next guy, and this is probably my wild card pick on my whole entire list, player number 6 on my list. It's hard to deny what he did as a true freshman, or wait a minute, he was a redshirt freshman at North Carolina. That's quarterback Drake May. 6'4", 220. That is impressive size. Did not realize how big he was until I went and looked up his numbers and put on some film. This is a very big young man who has got the perfect size for an NFL quarterback. 4,321 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Like I said, sample size is my wild card. I need to see more. Okay, I'm not sold yet, because to me, you've still got a couple other quarterbacks in that conference that could rival and challenge him for the top quarterback in that in the conference, in the ACC. He lost Josh Downs. He does have a couple of wide receivers coming back. Nothing that just, you know, blows you away. So he's going to have to really show me something this year in order for me to get on board. They had crap for a running game last year. They had to throw all the time. They were probably behind in some games. Those numbers could be a little bit flared out. But I want to see some more from him. But what they're saying, and the way he projects and the way he's looking to be the second quarterback, they've got him projected as the second quarterback in the country right now, behind Williams from USC. It's Williams and then him. I'm not there yet. I'm not. There's other quarterbacks to me that are ahead of him, just because I need to see. If he does it again this year, yeah, I'll be like, yep, that dude's good. Okay? So, but Drake May, in a two-quarterback system in most Devy leagues or a super flex, he's going to go very fast in your Devy drafts. If he's available in your redrafts because you didn't have moves or you couldn't make moves or, you know, he didn't get picked up, he's going to go hot. He's going to go as a hot item, especially in two-quarterback leagues or super flex. Next guy on my list, I didn't want to put him at the top. I didn't want to put him at the bottom because it's going to be a homer pick no matter how you look at it, and that is FSU quarterback Jordan Travis. He still needs to put on more weight. I saw today where he's up to 209. He's getting there, okay, because when he came to Florida State, he was like 195. So he's putting on some weight. He's 6'1". The size is okay with me as height-wise. He needs to beef up because I don't think he's going to be able to take off and do the things that he does at the NFL level that he does in college. Taking off and just scrambling and going. But see, last year, he didn't need to run near as much because the running game helped him out, and he was able to have pass catchers, and he was able to throw for 3,214 yards, 24 touchdowns last year. Okay, numbers that were only second and third to Chris Winkie and Charlie Ward the year they won the Heisman for FSU. Okay, that says something. And an offense where Norvell likes to run a lot, he still put up those kind of numbers, and it rivaled the numbers of a couple of former Heisman winners. The hype is real. I hope he doesn't get swallowed up in it, because he could really put on a show for FSU and the ACC and college football this upcoming season. And if he stays healthy, he's going to be in the Heisman talk, because his chip on his shoulder and his willingness to just be better every single game is going to will him, and he's going to put up huge numbers and be a big-time threat. Now, does it transfer to the NFL? That's the big question. Okay, we've seen other quarterbacks with more talent, better arms, you know, flame out at the NFL level. It's going to have to hit perfect for him. Okay, he's going to have to go to a system, and Bailey Zappe comes to mind. I think he's a better quarterback than Bailey Zappe. But if he was to land in some place like a New England where he's the backup quarterback and something happens and he gets his chance to shine, he may take over it. Okay, I'm not saying, you know, it's a Bailey Zappe situation, but he kind of puts you in mind of that. I think he's a better quarterback than Bailey Zappe was in college. Zappe was in a different kind of offense, but Jordan Travis is a different style of quarterback. So to me, yes, there's a spot for Jordan Travis in the NFL. Is he a starting quarterback and a fantasy, you know, dominant player? I don't know. It's to be determined, but I'm taking a shot. I'm taking a shot because I don't want somebody else to have him, because that would make my stomach hurt. I'm like, I had a chance and I didn't get it. So I'm going to take a shot. And if it doesn't work out, it's going to be another one of those where it just didn't work out for me. But if you watch him play, if you watch the highlights against Florida, is just ridiculous. He embarrassed that team. That was fun. That was a fun game for me. But if he can transfer that and take what he's learned from Norvell and take that with him to the NFL, Jordan Travis could really turn some heads and surprise a lot of people. Next on my list, and this is where we get into some players that I really, really like, and I really want to see where they're going in Devy, and this is one that I'm highly targeting. I really, really like this guy, Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington, 6'3", 200, love the size. He had a breakout year this past year, 1,145 yards, 7 touchdowns. Okay, if you put on some film of this guy, it does not take you but about 2 clips to like, okay, this guy's got some stuff. He's got some stuff. He's tough. He's hungry. He's a long strider with great hands, good speed, fights for yardage after he catches the ball. I mean, even if it's a 15-yard dig and he catches the ball, he's still churning his legs to get 1, 2, 3 more yards, okay? It's another one of those guys where he burst onto the scene this year. I cannot wait to see him in 23. I can't wait to see what he does with Penix at the quarterback position. He's got a solid quarterback and another year of solid production coming back with Odunze. Okay, he's going to turn some heads, and he's out there on the West Coast, and there may be people who don't even know his name. Okay, I was doing some research, and I saw a highlight, and I'm like, okay, who's this kid? So here I go. Down the Odunze rabbit hole I go, and now I'm like, okay, I like this kid. I really want to see what he does in 23. I love his hands. I love the way he fights for yardage. He's tough, and, you know, the 6'3", 200 pounds, that's NFL wide receiver right there, and I can't wait to see what he does for Washington this year. It's not going to make me stay up till midnight, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning watching him, but I will watch the highlights, or if he's on at a reasonable time for me here in Ohio, I'm definitely going to check him out. Next guy is a bit of a wild card, okay? Had some trouble at Arizona State, not off the field trouble. He had some trouble with, just basic football fundamentals. Transfers to FSU and has exploded in 2022. Johnny Wilson, listen to this, 6'7", 235 pounds, okay? Runs great for his size. He has wide receiver speed and a 6'7", 235 frame. Now, not a burner, okay? He's not DeSean Jackson. But he's fast for his size. And he can go up and get balls that some corners can't go up and get. He's a steal in later Devy rounds because he's going to be on an NFL team, okay? They're going to draft him just for his size. And if he can clean up, right here on my notes, first thing, fix the easy drops. He dropped some easy catches, like some that were so easy, you're like, oh my gosh, how did he drop that? And then he'll turn around 2 plays later and make a crazy catch over a defender with one hand, but he'll drop the easy ones. That's concentration. That can be fixed. That can be fixed. I look for a huge output. That's why he came back this year. He was going to be projected as a top 10 wide receiver if he came out this year. That's why he came back, though, to fix those things, to fix the fundamentals, and help FSU win an ACC title. One-on-one nightmare. If they put one-on-one coverage on him as a young freshman or young first or second-year receiver in the league, they don't have much on him, he's going to cook somebody. Okay, this guy's going to be on an NFL team. 43 catches last year, 897 yards, 5 touchdowns. Would have had more. Couple bad drops, like I said. He dropped a couple passes in the end zone. I look for a bounce back this year from Johnny Wilson, and pretty stoked that he stuck around for one more year for FSU. The next spot was where I had Malik Nabers. Like I said, I'm going to bump him because of the gun charges, and I'll get back to him in a minute. I'm going to go ahead and finish out the wide receivers, and I got a couple of tight ends to talk about. In his place, I'm going to put in Luther Burden. Okay, Luther Burden was probably the top wide receiver coming out in his class last year. Didn't have a phenomenal season, 45 catches, 375 yards, 6 touchdowns. Added 2 more rushing touchdowns. One was a little end around. 5'11", 215. Really excited about this kid. Plays a little bit bigger than his size. Okay, I like the weight. He's a solid kid at 5'11". Okay, he's got a huge upside and plenty of time to hone his craft. Sleek frame, good speed. He works on special teams. He's an all-purpose receiver. And I think he's going to do big things for Missouri this year. This could be his year to, you know, double or even triple his yardage and double his touchdowns. I expect big things from Luther Burden. He would have been probably the wide receiver that didn't make this list because I wanted to go with 12 guys. But with Malik Nabers having the trouble, I'm like, hey, now I get to talk about Burden anyway. So I really like him. He went very high in our Devy draft last year by our good friend Brian Wickham. He took him with his first or second pick. And I was like, man, I didn't think, you know, anybody knew about him. I had him on my list, you know, to draft later on. He went early. So you put on the film from him. There's a lot to like. And like I said, he's got time to hone his craft, and he could really be something special going forward. Okay, I don't talk about tight ends much. It's one of my downfalls because I hate the tight end position at the NFL. It's not spectacular in college fantasy either, but I do have two names for you here that I think are really worth talking about. And yes, one of them is Jaheim Bell, transfer from South Carolina to FSU, 6'3", 230, good size. He's kind of like a H-back type of receiver. He had 261 rushing yards, and he had 231 receiving yards. Didn't really get used a lot at South Carolina his last year, therefore he transferred. 5 total touchdowns last season, which isn't great, but, okay, new team, okay, and a tight end friendly offense. If you watch FSU games like I do, they find the tight end a lot. And you're looking at, they lost their starting tight end. They're bringing back Marquiston Douglas, but Jaheim Bell is going to step right in and fill a role for FSU, and I think he could have a phenomenal season. Now, if they're able to use him, he's able to be a multi-purpose type of tight end, you know, and you put him in like the Travis Kelce mold, only I think Travis Kelce might be a little bit bigger than him, but intriguing to see what he does in 23 and at the NFL level. This year's going to tell the tale because they're not going to really use him as like a utility knife. Okay, they may do a couple gadget plays here and there, but FSU's got running backs. Okay, they don't really need him to do those kinds of things. He wants to be a tight end. They need him to be a tight end. I love the fit in a tight end-friendly offense at FSU, so I'm keeping my eye on Jaheim Bell. Now, if you're in tight end leagues, if you're in tight end Devy leagues, this is a guy to go get. Okay, if you're in leagues that don't play with tight ends, maybe let it roll. Last guy, Jatavion Sanders, 6'4", 256. This kid is a prototypical size tight end. Great size, 54 catches, 600 yards last year, 5 touchdowns. Excited to see him this year, with the second year, hopefully, with Quinn Ewers as the quarterback. I was able to pick him up last year in a college league, and he was my starting tight end. He didn't always have boom games, but he always got you a little bit of something. And in my opinion, if you can get anything from the tight end position, it's a plus. If you get 10 points, that's a win. If you get 3 to 5, it's better than nothing. Need to see another good year from him, though. Okay, his upside's huge. Lots of talent, lots of potential, but I want to see it again. I want to see his numbers go up. I want to see, you know, 54 catches was pretty good for a tight end. I'd like to see more yardage, a few more touchdowns, and he could definitely get that in Texas. Texas has a lot of questions. They're replacing two really solid NFL running backs. Okay, so they're going to have to reshuffle that whole entire thing. So they may be leaning a little bit heavier on Jatavion Sanders this year. He's a fantastic play in college, and I love him as a Devy prospect as well. So before I go, let's run down my 12 Devy guys to focus on, or at least put on your list. I'm not saying focus on them, because that's up to you. put on your list of potential assets to draft. Bucky Irving, running back out of Oregon. Raheem Sanders, running back out of Arkansas. May be available, may not be. Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State. Quinshon Judkins, running back out of Ole Miss. Donovan Edwards, running back out of Michigan. Drake May, quarterback, UNC. Jordan Travis, quarterback, FSU. Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. Johnny Wilson, wide receiver, Florida State. Luther Burden, wide receiver, Missouri. Jatavion Sanders, tight end out of Texas. Jaheim Bell, tight end out of Florida State. Look, these bigger names, okay, that's already in college, Caleb Williams, you know, those big-time names, I'm not going to touch on those because you guys are going to know to go after these people, okay? You're already going to know. So the bigger names are either going to be gone already in your redrafts, or they're going to, you know to go after them and target them in your startups. These are names that some of them are going to hit the first round, but some of them are going to fall to the second and third just because of the amount of talent there is in college football. Don't sleep on Cade Klubnik. I still want to see a little bit more out of Michael Penix. I know he's a transfer from Indiana. He went to Washington, kind of blew up, resurrected his career. You know, Bo Nix staying at Oregon. These guys are all names that you're going to go after. Don't sleep on any of those quarterbacks. Quarterbacks and running backs make your team, especially in super flex leagues. And if you're in leagues where your teams have like half point per running back carry, huge points. PPR leagues where you have 1.5, 1.5 PPR, big time points. So it's just some names to target, and it's a way to break the ice of season 7 of the C-Gap Blitz. And I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward to bringing it to you this season, bigger and better. That'll do it. Season 7 off and running. Don't forget the NFL Combine starts next week. Okay, that's the official kickoff to the new season. And here we go, people. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time on the Blitz.